Our Father, we come to you again this day, and we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we thank you for this book. We're fixing to open the Word of God, and we ask you to give us what is needed in the hour. Lord, we can study without the anointing of the Spirit of God, though it doesn't mean anything. May the heart study in and the time spent with you to present the Word today be that which you could be pleased with. Holy Spirit, to have a right of way to use us as a vessel to speak these words that come from God's Word. And then those who listen may listen with a tender heart to want to hear from you this day as we come together to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 1 with me. And I'd like to read verse 6. John 1 verse 6 through 17. And then I'd like to read verse 29 to 34. And for the sake of time, read kind of hurriedly. Then we'll give you the text. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that come into the world. He was of the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to come the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad to say that I'm one of those. Amen, aren't you? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John had bared witness of him, and cried, saying, this is he whom I spake, he that cometh after me, preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now look, if we will, in verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus cometh unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is whom I have said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now he says again what he said in verse 15. Now he says, in the presence of the Lord coming towards him. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I've come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou seest, shall the Spirit descended and remained on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then John says, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak to you on something today that doesn't seem likely, but it's so. There's a lot of folks on this earth who know the name of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks on this earth who literally would tell you that, you know, they have a relationship with him to some kind of another. There's many folks, if you mention his name, they say, yeah, I've heard of that name. And yet there's thousands upon thousands who may have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to talk about those necessary that have never heard his name before. That's in God's timetable, how he wants to do that in his predetermined counsel. But I want to talk about the subject on the basis of those who have heard his name over and over and over again. My text is found in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I want to speak to you on this morning on Christ still unrecognized. Christ still unrecognized. Oh, the name. Many folks know the name. Oh, the talk about him. Many folks will say, yeah, I've heard the story, and it's wonderful. Little baby Jesus was born years ago. But they still don't recognize who he really is. Did you know that? There may be some here right now. You've heard this his name all your life, but you have not really recognized who he is. It's very easy sometimes to know someone and not really recognize them. I remember years ago that I took a group to the Holy Land. And when we got off the airplane in Tel Aviv, we remember at the airport, One brother said, you know, isn't that Arthur Smith, Your Honor? I said, of all places in the world, see Arthur Smith. Everybody knows who Arthur Smith is now. I used to think he was a brother of Dean Smith, but I found out he was not. They must have been in the family tree somewhere or another, hadn't they? And they said, yeah, that's fine. And this brother said, hey, Arthur! And he turned around and waved at us. It was Arthur Smith. Either that or the guy lied one. Amen. So we thought we recognized him, but we didn't recognize him. And yet, when we called his name, we realized we did recognize him. Heard a wonderful story. Said that up in Chicago, this is a true story also, said that a policeman walked by one day on an old house that kind of tore down, a building that was torn down. This guy was standing out with an overcoat on, had his hat off, and he was just doing all kinds of things with his head, eyes shut. And the policeman walked over to him and said, sir, this is Chicago. He said, are you sick? Are you drunk? Or what's wrong? What could I ask what's wrong with you standing here like this in this weather? And this fellow said, sir, I'm Billy Sunday. And he said, I don't ever come to Chicago in this era without coming by this place where I heard the gospel for the first time and thank God for saving my soul. And the policeman said, Mr. Sunday, I know you. I've heard of you. I tell you what, you just stand there as long as you want to. I'm going to stand over on the side of the street and keep people away from him. And he stood there and wouldn't let nobody get to Billy Sunday until Billy Sunday finished his prayer. He didn't recognize him, but he did recognize him. Well, there's a lot of folks I say today know his name, but still don't recognize him. Maybe you've heard his name here many, many times. Someone listened by radio in a few minutes. Heard his name many, many times, but they still don't recognize him. See, if you have never trusted him as your personal Savior, you don't recognize who he really is. Amen? If you don't know him as your personal Savior, you have never recognized who he is. Or you've heard his name, you played with his name, you've even been around people and talked about his name. You may have read some things about his history, but you don't really know him unless you know him as your personal Savior. You don't really recognize him unless you know him as your personal Savior. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this world has never known a true prophet apart from the Word of God. Now, I know that some people nowadays say that's dangerous because those people tell you today they're still prophets. They call him prophet so-and-so. No. There is no prophet on the earth today apart from the Word of God. Somebody would say, well, I can say I believe honestly that this world has never seen a prophet apart from the Word of God. This world will never hear a message that predicts the future apart from the Word of God. You know why? God has left us His Word and everything we need to know. We can't get that, let alone something someone comes along and tells us they've seen or know about the future. And yet you say, but preacher, wait a minute. Do not preachers preach God's Word about the future? Yes, but everything comes from the Word of God. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. How do I know that? Not because He came one night at the foot of my bed and said He's coming back. I read it in the Word of God. I'll tell you this, not on that. Jesus said a man must be saved. I know that by the Word of God. Jesus tells me how to be saved. I know that by the Word of God. You see, everything we herald, everything we proclaim is from the Word of God. So therefore, there is no such a thing a prophet apart from the Word of God. Jesus Christ came. Now He's reconstructing a society. And He imposes in this world an absolute new ethical standard that man had never seen before, though God's law was certainly a pure standard in His particular day. God's Son, through what He did on Calvary, is creating a born-again being. He's taking man who's fallen, and He's creating a born-again being. And yet, even that, where He's given the instructions for that born-again child of God to hurl to this world the news, the good news about Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus is still unrecognized by this world, just like it was in John chapter 1 and verse 10 2,000 years ago. You'd be surprised at the number of people in our nation still don't recognize Him. Oh, we say we're a Christian nation. I'll tell you, it's getting to be more other style than Christian nowadays if you listen to what's going on. But what I'm telling you is this, that they're still unrecognizing who Jesus really is. We present Christ by faith. He has a kingdom He's manifested in this world that's His kingdom, which is a spiritual sense manifested in the church where people can see those who've been born into the family of God. We present Christ by faith. We present truth by faith. Now, this is much better than trying to present a lie as truth by sight. People say, well, you show me and I'll see it. And many people are going around producing a lie By sight, they say, because they read into or give some information, and a person thinks they see something that's physically that someone else has already kind of draped around it, their thoughts and thinking, and now they say they see it by sight, and they believe this because they saw something by sight. Well, I want to tell you, did you know that Satan can enhance a lie to make it look like the truth? And he can take the truth, which is by faith, and make it look like a lie unless you let the power that's available, that's in this world and inside the child of God, trying to reveal to others who Jesus Christ really is. In Christ, we can appeal to observation. We can go back and say, look at down the last 2,000 years, how people have come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Look at the last 2,000 years. Today's society is not an evolution process out of the B.C. time. It's not an evolution process of years ago when people looked at it in the Dark Ages and so forth. And now we call us in our last century have come out of the Dark Ages into an enlightening age. We are in an enlightened age. But I'll tell you this, man's a fool. Leave God out of it. Amen. Because God is still running this show, whether they realize it or not. You see, before Jesus came, and even in the first few centuries, the gods of this world were dead in the old civilization. Even in Rome, many were laughing in each other's faces due to so many beliefs. They had so many gods that even the Romans knew there could not be this many gods. If you've got that many gods, you've got battles in the wars of gods. Everything was a god. Thousands of gods they had. And they'd get together and talk about it. And many would laugh and ridicule the fact, especially the elite of the day, of what they were talking about as their gods. Philosophers were mocked in that day. Pilate even asked Christ in John 19:38, what is truth? People were seeking truth, but they realized what the religious world was offering was not the answer at that time. Rome and Greece was sunk into corruption. Judaism itself had perished into formalism. Jesus called Judaism white sepulchres in Matthew 23, verse 27. He said, little white sepulchres on the outside, inside full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. That's how God evaluated even that which God set up through Moses in the Old Testament. White sepulchres, being everything on the outside, nothing changed on the inside. God sees the inside. He knows if it's true or not. He knows if it's real or not. We see the outside, and many times we're deceived by those who put on the show. So here, the gods were dead in the old civilization. The world was religious, but it was hopeless, lost. Power had failed. Cultures had failed. Religion had failed. Love had failed. As a matter of fact, the old dead world had confused love with lust. That which they lust after they called love. And it was abominable in God's sight because they turned not only to the things that God said not do. Many times they turned to it, to elements that God had forbidden many as completely abomination. Man turned into man and woman turned into woman. And even some people turned into beast. Here we see the old world confused what love was. By the way, we're there today, this world today. Yes, right now, because the internet's turned lust into love, saying that lust is love, when lust is lust, and it's that which in turn leads to sin. Love will lead to something to cause a person to want to serve God and love their mate and love their family. God was degraded to matter of some kind or some form. There was no word about the hereafter in the Old Testament. The Bible talked about people dying, collected unto the fathers. They had no insight of what was happening in that world after this particular life. Then we come down to Malachi. For about 400 years, no one heard from God. Heaven was brass to prayers. Can you imagine a 400-year period? Not one ounce of information from God whatsoever. Our nation is a little over 200 years old. That means simply that we only about a little over halfway through what they were before they heard from God. From Malachi to Matthew. And here we find this time when gods were dead in the old civilization, them given power to. This world, which was religious but hopeless, lost, failed in power, failed in religion, failed, confused love with lust. And they had no word about the hereafter. And for 400 years, they didn't hear one thing from God. And then I want to give you my first point and only point in the message today about that Christ still unrecognized. When the world had faced all of this, not hearing from God, false religion, worshiping God in a false way, then came Christ. He changed everything. Then came Christ. The Creator was presented personally in this world as one of His own inhabitants. What an honor that God would do that. What a tragedy He had to do it. Folks, I don't know if you understand this or not. For God who created us to present Himself in as an inhabitant in His creation is beyond your thinking. God who had not one ounce of sin, perfect being, created man, gave him free will, broke God's heart, and God so loved him that the only way to redeem him back is for God to be who is the creator of everything that you and I can see and can't see, became inhabited of His own creation as a man. We don't get it. What an honor. God, may I say it, manifested in the flesh. We don't get it. What a sinful state this world is in to not know Him when we were made by Him. And yet He loved us so much that He manifested Himself in the flesh. And we still didn't get Him as human beings. Thank God some have. Many of you have here. We know who He is. Sin rebelled against holiness. And Christ came. About 30 years later began His ministry. And He began remaking this world through a new creation that the world cannot see except as it manifested itself in those who believed on Him. And because it's so inconsistent about that, many refused to believe because they said, I don't believe a Christian would do that or say that or go that way or do those things. And yet God chose to work His wonderful plan this way. You see, Jesus Christ put a personal God at the center of this world now and made us acceptable and accountable unto Him. The true Jehovah God, not no others. You've got 1,000, you've got 1,000 wrong ones then. God now has brought something about that puts God, Jesus Christ, put God the Father, the center of everything in this world. And He made man who would not recognize Him, didn't change the fact. He made man accountable to the God who is Jehovah God, the God of this Bible, the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus presented God not as elected if you want to choose it or not, but as required if you ever plan to get out of this world and end up with Him forever. It is required that a man trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. It's required. It's not, well, I'll do if I want to. I'm not so worried about it. You better get worried about it. It's not for you to decide whether you want to or don't want to, and it won't make a difference. You better want to because it will make a difference. It will make a difference. I'm talking about Christ still unrecognized in this world. Christ revealed God as almighty, as everlasting, as the one who deserves that which in turn man should give Him and fail to do so. Please hear me this morning. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, caused men to see that they were in God's... Please hear this. Jesus Christ, for once in all in man's history, caused man to see that He and we are in God's universe rather than God being in our universe. Well, any wonderful thing, God came in our universe. No! We're in His universe. He has a right to call the shots, make the laws, and tell us what He would have us to say and do. So therefore, because we're in His universe, somewhere, sometime in the future, man must give an account to Him. We're going to do it. It's going to happen. Man in God's universe is going to give account to Him one of these days in the future. God allows man to do a lot of things. He gives him permission will and has him fenced in a lot of ways. But the power of regeneration is not in our hands. It's in His hands. The power of the new birth is not in our hands. It's in His hands. Now, he's given us this wonderful sense to respond by belief. But it's in his hands to do the saving. Man can crush a flower, but he cannot give life to it. Man can take his own life, but he cannot give life back. Man can take another man's life, but he cannot give life back. Now, God has let us move and advance a lot of ways in our days, whereas we can revive people who are not biological dead. We got a clinical death, so to speak, called nowadays. A lot of folks can be clinical dead. That is, not completely died brain otherwise. We got machines and other things. God let us have keep people alive. But I'll tell you that when a person comes to this old Johnson County barnyard dead, there's nobody to bring it back but God. That's all there is to it. I'm not talking about claiming he's dead. I'm talking about you know he's dead. I used to try to, tell the story. My dad used to teach me how to wring a chicken's neck. I'll never get that. And I wrung the chicken's neck. And I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again. That's how little I know. I wrung that chicken's neck. I'd turn him around at least four or five times. And his neck's hit in my hand just as straight as you've ever seen. He still got up and walked away. Now, he won't dead. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone who's genuine dead. When I look at this, we destroy, but we do not create when it comes to life. Then came Jesus. He gives the life of God. That which we lost in Adam, he has restored it back. Jesus gave the eternal God a name. Number of names he's mentioned. I won't go through all, but love and light. John 3:16. He's the light of the world. He came to die. Light reveals his love. God so loved the world. In the cross, Christ fires up the measure of divine love. Life is the key theme in John's gospel. It's mentioned some at least 36 times. In that gospel, he gives us four essentials for human life. They are light, they're air, they are water and food. You got to have those four things to have good physical life, human life. When Jesus talked about this life in his kingdom, he announced all four of these. Jesus is in all of these. He's the light of the world, John 8:12. The coming of the true light brought conflict as the powers of darkness opposed him. The Holy Spirit gave the breath of life in John 3:8 and 20:22. The Holy Spirit gives us the water of life in John 4:10. Jesus is the living bread from heaven in John 6:35. Jesus is the life. How can he be that? For he's God in the flesh, John 14:6. See, the coming of Christ into this world was the dawning of a new day for sinful man. The coming of Christ in this world was to create a new being created in Christ Jesus. A world that you cannot see except in the Christian's life. Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world, as you can see. I mean, we look at nations. Look at America. Look at Europe. Look at China. Look at Korea. They're powers. We see them. And we think about that nation, that kingdom, that group of people. Jesus said, I've got a group too, but you can't see them like you can that. Mine's made up of spiritual world. And it's just as real. As a matter of fact, it's so real it will outlive and outlast and destroy the physical world before it's over with. Don't say it's not, you can't see it and use that as an alibi not to get part of it. Realize that when God speaks, he speaks truth. And therefore, we need to not let Satan make that into a lie rather than seeing the truth. So the coming of Christ in this world is the dawn of a new day. In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, he said, the day spring from on high had visited us. In verse 79, he goes further in that same chapter, Luke 1. He says, why does he visit us? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. God knows that a perishing world doesn't have to perish. And by the way, we're living in a perishing world. This world is perishing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to get no better. I believe we've seen right the beginning stage of disaster. And God's going to show this world that his plan and purpose will come to an end and will take up where he said it would in the New Jerusalem one day with God's people. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I could see what's on the horizon, there's going to be a lot of suffering on this world, not only in Africa and the Amazon, but also in countries like America and England. You say, that's doomed. The only way to change it is trust in the living God and follow Him according to His principles rather than man-made principles in this particular life. Eternity begins to take on a new meaning in Jesus Christ. Man is not a creature of a day or brother of a beast. The cross of Christ remade this world. Here He exalted the value of the individual, man. Isaiah 13, verse 12, He said, God said, I will make man more precious than fine gold. Now, that's the only way He could explain it. When it comes to you and I in a glorified body in the presence of God, it won't even be nothing. Fine gold can't even come close to what God has made us when we get there in that day. He exalted the value of the individual man. The world did not think much of man. You look back just a few years ago, even in to the 19th century. If you were the leader of the time and in the political realm, you did pretty good. But if you were not the leader in the political realm, most people fared hard. They had to move and try to hide themselves to somewhere or another not to be noticed, to be conquered by someone else. And then if you went somewhere or another and started something was successful, sooner or later somebody would try to take it away from you. That's the way men have always been in life, you see. Again, man's life was cheap. It was sold out for money, sold for pleasure, sold for ambition. Even in our day, when I'm coming along years ago, on into back to half the last century, we see that people really began to get their rights. Men were sold in slavery and other things in those particular days, you see. Man is not a creature of the day or a brother to a beast at all. Jesus put the family at the foundation of a social order, not the state. He didn't put the state. He put the family. Before, the state handled everything. Now we're coming back to our day and our nation. The state is trying to handle everything. God didn't put the foundation of the home for the state. He put it for the family. In the old world, the state was the unit. Christ gave the home a new meaning. He gave prestige to people who not had it. He gave the wife as a title of honor in Jesus Christ, equal to the husband, equal with the husband in Christ. He gave children an object of tender and care by the parents who through procreation brought them into the world. A new idea of character, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and these things such as were fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Even temperance was present. This is what Jesus gave in His kingdom when He came along 2,000 years ago. Christ brought to man a new life rather than a new rule of life. Man has a rule that governs him. Christ said, I've got more than that. If you got a rule that governs you, you may have a rule that governs you, and you may have a rule that governs you, and you may have a rule that governs you, and none of you agree when you mingle together. I don't care what you say when it comes to other countries coming here. Don't come trying to bring your rules here. We pretty well, like liars are until we see fit to change them. We ought to be the ones who change them. Not someone coming trying to bring someone else here to get us to change it because they don't like what we're living under. We got a lot of things wrong with America, but I'll tell you, she's still the best place in the world to live. She has most freedom than anyone else. Isn't it amazing that people won't come here because they don't have freedom, get here, and they want to make us like where they came from? I hope our politicians have more sense than that. That won't cost you nothing. Amen. What I want you to see, though, that Christ made a difference. Christ brought to new man life rather than a rule of life coming from man's own imagination. Now heaven is received as a home rather than a court or a place just to be judged. Heaven is our home. It's not just a place, though it is a place. It's a home. It's a place. You know what? I can go a lot of places in this world. And I don't feel too bad being there. There's nothing like home. If I'm going to be sick, I told my doctor this past week, if I'm going to be sick, he'd rather be sick at home than in the Philippines or the Middle East or somewhere like that. You wouldn't? You say, well, you don't know when you're going to be sick. That's true, but I'm saying if I'm going to be sick, then I can choose a place. I know where I choose. Amen. Amen. I think you know what I'm talking about there. So Christ has brought a new man, a new life, rather than a new rule of life. Home is of the family of God. And now, for 2,000 years, Christ has been working through His church, remaking the individual who exercises faith into Him so they can go to the home that God is preparing for us in heaven. That's what He's doing. And yet, He's still unrecognized. He came into His own. He came into a world that He Himself had made. And ladies and gentlemen, the world knew Him not. He still has a message today given to individuals. The message we have is to give to individuals that He's still saving souls. He still loves individuals. He has the answer to the problems of life. All they have to do is trust Him and say, God, You're right and I'm wrong, and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Christ has been working through His church. That's you and I. You can't be a sitter in the pew and Him work through you. You've got to be more than that. You've got to be the vessel surrendered to Him so He can use you wherever you may go. The Jew and the Gentile paid little attention to His character work, His character when He was here, to the words that He said when He was here, and to His works. Though many did believe, yet there was many that was deceived after they believed, and even found their life not counting for God like they should. They at times indulge in idle curiosity. The Jew and the Gentile, as they listen at what Jesus said, what He did, they were amazed at His words and His works. They were flabbergasted by what they saw. And it amazes me how easy it was for the religious leaders to change that what they saw in reality as being false. It goes to show you what you see every time can be very easy to deny unless God allow God to register it in your heart. They at times indulge in idle curiosity. His humility was an offense to their worldliness and pride. They'd listen to Him. In John 6, they'd come by the thousands to hear Him not speak, but to watch Him perform, fill their stomachs, He said. But every time He comes, I was talking to a brother recently, and we talk about this same thing at the hospital. It amazes me how when Jesus went somewhere and other people flocked to hear Him. And yet they didn't flock to hear Him. They flocked to see what He'd do. And in John 6, He fed those people. You remember? And then later he came. The people came and flocked to Him. And He said, Jesus said, you didn't come here to hear Me. You came here to get your stomachs fed. And then He went right into His Word. Before you get into the end of that chapter, many left Him. Because the Word cuts. We'll flock to feed the stomach, flock to feed the flesh, flock to feed the pleasure of the flesh. But let the Word of God come in. And it cuts. It separates. It causes us to see ourselves in the mirror of God's Word. And when we see ourselves, we see that He's pure and we're not, except in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it makes us love Him more as we go through life. His holy character was a rebuke to their sin. So when He spoke words, didn't love that. How many people you see the same way in our day? Put on a big show. Man, we'll flock. But don't come telling me that I'm a sinner and I need to get saved. And boy, don't talk pouring out my sins that much. I think I'm old enough to understand what I want to do and not do. Yeah, we're old enough to understand when we hear the gospel too that we need a Savior. But many don't recognize Him. His teaching was rebuked to their formality. When He stand and proclaim the Word, they get upset. And those that might have been wanting to listen to the leaders more, and therefore they became upset. Their guilt was aggravated by the rejection of His mission. Why is that? They refused to recognize Him who He was. So they either accepted, or when they refused, they became aggravated. And then the religious leader kind of kindled that aggravation and to the rejection of His mission. And I think you see today the same thing is happening. Still today, the majority of people do not recognize Him. John 5:40 says, as He spoke to Israel, you will not come to Me that you might have life. And ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Just simply this. You hear many people come into Christ for everything except life. Just look around. Listen to the invitations. They're coming for everything except life. And he said, our Savior said, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Something's in backwards in our day. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 16 through 30, Christ's own hometown refused to accept him and thrust him out. And when you look over in verse 29 of that chapter, it is interesting. Because in chapter 4 and verse 29, after Christ had, you know, he'd been in Nazareth's town before that, and he had preached in one of the synagogues and so forth. And when he told him the truth, he said in verse 29, and rose up. And they in this verse 20, the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Isn't it an amazing thing? Two people be sitting in the pew side by side. One will rebel and be filled with wrath and agitation and go out slandering. The other and be blessed by the Spirit of God and go out blessing God, and the service for being blessed that day. Isn't it amazing what the Holy Spirit can do with the Word of God in our hearts and life? So he said in verse 29, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill where upon that city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his own way. It's interesting. They can't do anything to him until it's time for them to do something to him, but they thought they could. But here we see again, his own town refused to accept him. Not only was he their creator, not only did he come into the world inhabit of that which he had created, but he was raised among the midst of those of Nazareth from a young boy up until now his ministry starts. And when he comes back to that town with his message, they thrust him out. And probably would have tried to throw him off the cliff had he not got out of their midst. In Mark chapter 5, verse 17, the Gadarenes asked him to depart from their border. Why? He had just healed a man with demons. Cut himself in the graveside. People scared to death on him. And now they ask him to leave their borders because the demons had rather go live in the swine than to live in, just live nowhere or another. You see, when I think about this, they refuse to recognize Christ. I'm talking about Christ still being unrecognized in our day. Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize him today? You say, well, preacher, I believe I do. Well, if you do, you'll not turn him away. If you do, you accept him. If you have accepted him, then you have recognized him. And when you get that point to accept and to recognize him, then he needs to be more than just recognize his Savior. Because if he's no more than just your Savior, you don't fully understand who he is. He came not only seeking to save, but to use you in the spiritual kingdom to reach others for Christ as we give the word out, as we bear witness. John said, when I saw what I saw, I bear witness that this is the Son of God. And that's what you and I have to do. We bear witness that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the absolute Son of God. And then from there, give what he's done for you and I in this life. Do not be one that does not recognize the true and the living Christ. In 2 Corinthians, may I read to you these words you see in chapter 5 and verse 19. What is that message? Minister reconciliation in verse 18. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, in verse 17. How? By receiving Christ as their Savior. How did that happen, verse 21? For he hath made him, watch this, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He had to come in his creation as inhabited, to inhabit his creation, to fulfill what he asked, so the sacrifice could be given. Jesus, who did not sin, but was made sin for us, not for God, for us. Though God certainly accepted it, it satisfied him, it pleased him. Now he can offer to you and I eternal life Peter said, the very life of God, when we say yes to Him and trust Him as our personal Savior, He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin. That's pretty clear, isn't it? People say, well, Jesus was a human being. He did a few things. We got some records. He did a few things. Yeah, it's a bunch of lies someone wrote about Him. You don't find it in the Bible. The Bible says no guile was found in His mouth. There's no sin. Notice again, for He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Everything we are or ever will be is because of Him. I say to you again, are you one who looks at Christ still unrecognized, or do you recognize Him? If you recognize Him, then there will be those things about Him that God says you accept is true. And first and foremost, you will see that He's the only way that man can ever have a relationship with the true and living God. And He's the only way that man will ever have an entrance into His kingdom. For He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to God, to the Father, except by Him. Then you wonder why that's our message. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is not the core of the message of the church, then we don't need a church. If that's not the core, so, well, no, it's to come and help us in our daily tasks. We feel so bad. Hey, you won't never feel as good as you can feel until you come to know Christ as Savior. Then feelings will mean more. If you're just looking feelings in the flesh without Christ, you can go about anywhere and get them satisfied. But I'll tell you this, you won't get them satisfied like God wants them satisfied unless you're in the midst where God's at. And He's in the midst of His church that starts with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today, and I say, Christ unrecognized, do you recognize Him? You say, yes. Are you saved? If you can't say you are, then you don't recognize Him. You acknowledge Him, there's something about Him, but you don't recognize Him. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. We're going to have resurrection next Sunday on Easter. Talk about that. What will we do with Him? What will you do with Him? If you recognize Him, you're going to trust Him. Father, I want to thank You for Your precious word. Thank You for the study of this and the realization of what You did for my heart, Lord, as I worked on this message to understand why it's so important for me and others like some 30 went out Thursday night visitation. The Lord, to get into this world to tell others about Jesus so they can recognize Him. Not just hearsay, hear about Him, but recognize Him as God reveals Him to the individual that will listen. And realize what an honor it was for God Himself, who is a high, lofty God of this universe, so much beyond His creation. And yet He chose to inhabit His creation that He may bring us to the place that God Himself abides forever in His Son. Lord, I thank You so much for that. Please help this feeble way this morning to exalt Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. May You take these words that are said and impound them and anoint them that some heart would understand clearly today. Been feeble way of presenting in a body of flesh. But God can take things that seem to be simple, just little, and make much out of them. Lord, we try to make much out of Jesus this morning. Holy Spirit, take it a step further. Honor Him as we honor our Savior and honor our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.